Nothing was different. Nothing had changed in a year. Ender was sure of it, and yet it all seemed to have gone sour. He was still the leading soldier in the standings, and no one doubted that he deserved it now. At the age of 9, he was a Toon leader in Phoenix Army, with Petra Arcanian as his commander. He still led his evening practice sessions, and now they were attended by an elite group of soldiers nominated by their commanders, though any launchy who wanted to could still come. Alai was also a Toon leader in another army, and they were still good friends. Shen was not a leader, but that was no barrier. Dink Meeker had finally accepted command and succeeded Rose the Nose in Rat Army's command. All is going well, very well. I couldn't ask for anything better. So why do I hate my life? He went through the paces of the practices and games. He liked teaching the boys in his Toon, and they followed him loyally. He had the respect of everyone, and he was treated with deference in his evening practices. Commanders came to study what he did. Other soldiers approached his table at mess and asked permission to sit down. Even the teachers were respectful. He had so much damn respect he wanted to scream. He watched the young kids in Petra's army, fresh out of their launch groups, watched how they played, how they made fun of their leaders when they thought no one was looking. He watched the camaraderie of old friends who had known each other in the battle school for years, who talked and laughed about old battles and long-graduated soldiers and commanders. But with his old friends, there was no laughter, no remembering, just work. Just intelligence and excitement about the game, but nothing beyond that. Tonight, it had come to a head in the evening practice. Ender and Alai were discussing the nuances of open-space maneuvers when Shen came up and listened for a few moments, then suddenly took Alai by the shoulders and shouted, "Nova! Nova! Nova!" Alai burst out laughing, and for a moment or two, Ender watched them remember together the battle where open-room maneuvering had been for real, and they had dodged past the older boys, and suddenly they remembered that Ender was there. "Sorry, Ender," Shen said. "Sorry? For what? For being friends?" "I was there too, you know," Ender said. And they apologized again. Back to business. Back to respect. And Ender realized that in their laughter, in their friendship, it had not occurred to them that he could have been included. How could they think I was part of it? Did I laugh? Did I join in? Just stood there, watching, like a teacher. That's how they think of me, too. Teacher. Legendary soldier. Not one of them. Not someone that you embrace and whisper salam in his ear. That only lasted while Ender still seemed a victim, still seemed vulnerable. Now he was the master soldier, and he was completely, utterly alone. "Feel sorry for yourself, Ender." He typed the words on his desk as he lay on his bunk. "Poor Ender." Then he laughed at himself and cleared away the words. "Not a boy or girl in this school wouldn't be glad to trade places with me." He called up the fantasy game. He walked, as he often did, through the village that the dwarves had built in the hill made by the giant's corpse. It was easy to build sturdy walls, with the ribs already curved just right, just enough space between them to leave windows. The whole corpse was cut into apartments, opening onto the path down the giant's spine. The public amphitheater was carved into the pelvic bowl, and the common herd of ponies was pastured between the giant's legs. Ender was never sure what the dwarves were doing as they went about their business, but they left him alone as he picked his way through the village, and in return he did them no harm either. He vaulted the pelvic bone at the base of the public square and walked through the pasture. The ponies shied away from him. He did not pursue them. Ender did not understand how the game functioned anymore. In the old days, before he had first gone to the end of the world, everything was combat and puzzles to solve, defeat the enemy before he kills you, or figure out how to get past the obstacle. Now, though, no one attacked. There was no war, and wherever he went, there was no obstacle at all. Except, of course, in the room in the castle at the end of the world. It was the one dangerous place left, and Ender, however often he vowed that he would not, always went back there, always killed the snake, always looked his brother in the face, and always, no matter what he did, died. It was no different this time. He tried to use the knife on the table to pry through the mortar and pull out a stone from the wall. As soon as he breached the seal of the mortar, water began to gush in through the crack, and Ender watched his desk as his figure, now out of his control, struggled madly to stay alive, to keep from drowning. The windows of his room were gone, the water rose, and his figure drowned. All the while, the face of Peter Wiggin in the mirror stayed and looked at him. "I'm trapped here," Ender thought, "trapped at the end of the world with no way out." And he knew at last the sour taste that had come to him despite all his successes in the battle school. It was despair.